welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Every new business makes losses, but what does profit and loss mean? What's the difference between making losses and not making growth? These are a few of the questions I'm going to ask Ashutosh Garg today in this episode of The Brand Called You. Mr. Ashutosh Garg is the founder of Equation Coaching and The Guardian Pharmacy. Hello, sir.
Hi, Arvind.
So what does making profit or loss mean? Is it any different from growth? So what's the difference?
So let's look at the first purpose of business. And the first purpose of business is to make money. No business can sustain itself if it continuously loses business. And therefore, when you say to make money, it is very simplistically put, you earn a revenue when you do business. You have operating expenses. You remove your operating expenses from the margin that you're making. And you make what's called an earning before interest, depreciation, and tax. And then if you have taken loans, you take out the interest. You get the earning before depreciation and tax. Then you, if you're you've got a lot of capital investments, then you have depreciation. But if you're an asset light, you have very small depreciation. Then you get earning before tax. And then you pay the tax that's applicable in your country, which is what you come to the profit after tax. The profit after tax is the amount of money that is normally available as a result of the operations of the company. And that money is used to pay shareholders, which is their dividend, because of the investment people have made in the company. And it is also the money that is available to the company for future growth. So, slightly long-winded answer to your question on profit and growth. But profit and growth are what I would call synonymous terms. Growth must happen if there is profit. If you're making a huge amount of profit, then to sustain the huge amount of profit, you have to keep growing.
Okay, that was quite a complex answer.
Quite a mouthful.
Quite a mouthful. But today we are going to focus on making losses. How should a startup plan for making losses? And is it okay to make losses for an extended period of time? And when should a startup say, okay, no more losses?
So I've always maintained that there is absolutely no problem in making a loss, because that's your early stage losses that you are making, because you are seeding your business, because you're building your business. But every entrepreneur knows that there has to be light at the end of the tunnel. Because remember that every time you are making losses, you are funding your business through either shareholder funds or what is often done by businessmen, which is not correct, is to take loans to fund your losses. Right? Now, taking loans to fund your losses is a double-edged sword, because that is what has resulted in a lot of businesses going belly up. So there is absolutely no problem if it's a planned loss. When you do your business plan, you say that for the first year, for the first 2 years, for the first 3 years, this is the amount of loss that I will make. And when I know that I'm going to make this loss, and I'm within the amount of losses that I had predicted, then there is nothing to feel bad about. But if you have said that you're going to make a loss of X and you end the year with a loss of 3X, then I think there is something serious happening in the business. And as an entrepreneur, you need to sit back and think, what is it that you're doing wrong? Mm-hmm. Are your costs completely out of control? Or something even more dramatic, is your business viable?
Right. So let's delve a little deeper into planning for losses. Is it always possible to foresee your losses, or there might be certain cases where you can get into an unexpected expenditure and that might lead to losses?
So, you know, let's break up the business life cycle from the day you start up into, say, 6 months.
Right.
Because the first 6 months, your business is really a twinkle in the eye of the entrepreneur, saying, this is what my dream was and I'm implementing it. The entrepreneur may or may not have written a business plan. If you have not written a business plan, then you're in for some surprises, because at the end of 6 months, when your accountant comes and draws up your 6 monthly profit and loss account, you may say, how much money did I make? And this is, what do you mean, how much money you made? You lost a lot of money, right? I've seen this happening to a lot of people. But if you've made a business plan and you have thought this through, what is revenue? Revenue is basically the number of units that you are wanting to sell, or the number of services that you're wanting to sell, multiplied by the rate at which you're going to sell it, is your revenue. You know what are your costs in each of these cases. So you know what is your net accretion, whether it's going to be a profit or a loss. If at the end of 6 months you find that you're making a loss, that is when you've got to sit back and think, what do I change in my business? So the next phase is going to be my 6 month to say 2 year period.
Okay.
In the second phase of my business life cycle, that is when I should really be able to say with a reasonable degree of accuracy whether I will be able to get a certain revenue or not get a certain revenue.
Right.
Now, there can be surprises which are completely beyond your control. So, like, I have known businesses where a lot was dependent on imports from China, and the government of India suddenly increased the import duty from 10% to 20%.
Wow.
Now, the moment that happened, the entire assumptions of the business went haywire. Right? Now, that's something beyond your control. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they import a lot of goods. And last year, they had done their entire budgeting based on the assumption that the rupee dollar would be 68 rupees. But last year, the rupee dollar went up to 74 rupees. Right? That was almost a 9% drop. Now, in a business that makes a margin of 11, 12, 13%, a 9% variance in your import cost can completely throw everything out of line. So, these are things that are outside your control. But generally, if there are no shocks that are beyond your control, you should, with reasonable accuracy, be able to say, how will my next 12 months look? And that is where it is important to be able to predict well. It is important to be able to put pen to paper and say, this is how I will look, my business will look at the end of the financial year.
Okay. So let's explore a bit on when you make unexpected losses. And you just said that some people make the mistake of taking loans from banks to cover up their losses. Now, what do you suggest people should do when they make losses? How should they cover it up?
The first and most critical thing to look at when you're making losses is your top line. Are you making sufficient revenues? And if you're not, then what is it that you should do to increase your revenue? Because that's a positive way of looking at business, which is that let me increase my sales to be able to minimize my losses. If I'm not being able to increase my sales, then other than the fact that you need to question your business model, you need to start cutting your costs, and cut your costs dramatically. Because every rupee that you are going to spend in incurring costs is a money that is going out of your pocket as an entrepreneur.
Right.
So therefore, first try and increase business. If that is not working, then cut costs.
Another scenario is I'm making losses repeatedly, and I have planned for these losses. But then there will come a time where your investors and your board members are going to start questioning, you know, firstly, how do you deal with that? And then, and secondly, is when you say, okay, this is it. I have to change my model, business model. Now I have to start making revenue.
Correct. You know, we live in a very interesting world. If you look at some of the biggest companies in the world, whether it's an Uber or a Lyft, right, or some of the other similar large companies, or for that matter, the biggest company in the world, which is Amazon, they built their business model based on the fact that they would keep reinvesting in the business and they didn't really care about making money. So Uber and Lyft still don't make money. Amazon has now started making very, very big money. So the question is not about how much losses you're making, but the question is how much your investors and your board members are willing to support you. So if you have planned for a loss, you have to carry your investors with you. If your investors and your board members are happy to support your making a loss because they share your vision of building a unicorn or building a unicorn which is going to be global, and then they decide to keep putting more and more money in your business, then I think there's no looking back. But remember that investors and senior board members are knowledgeable people. And they will only support you if they find they have enough confidence in your business model. There have been so many instances where they've asked the entrepreneur to step down because they found that the entrepreneur's vision was very good, but the entrepreneur was not being able to deliver what was the expectation in the business plan that was approved by the shareholders and the board. So it is a very dynamic situation. As the entrepreneur, no harm in making losses, no harm in burning money, but that has to get the buy-in of your shareholders. It has to get the buy-in of your board members.
Okay.
And if they share your vision, then keep spending.
You just mentioned burning money. There is a word in the market and we hear it all the time. And the term is called cash burn.
Correct.
So what is cash burn?
Cash burn is really your planned loss.
Oh.
Right? It's basically a planned loss. Very, very simply put, cash burn means that you've got to put, say, 100,000 rupees into your business. Your total revenue is going to be, say, 300,000 rupees. Now, 300,000 rupee business, you should be making some money. But say, on the 300,000 revenue, you're not making any money, but you're spending 350,000 rupees. Right? Cost of doing business and everything else, 350,000. So you made a loss of 50,000. That 50,000 you're taking out of your investment. So that 50,000 is the cash burn of your business. You can continue to do your cash burn as long as you have enough money and as long as there's cash in the bank. Which is why for every entrepreneur or every startup entrepreneur, it is critical to look at how much cash do you have in the bank. And I'm sure you've heard this from a lot of people, that never reach a situation where you have 15 days money left in your account, because that's when you'll be struggling to raise more money. So cash burn is something which is normal, but if cash starts to burn faster than you have planned, then you've got a problem.
So how much money should I have in my bank?
I don't know if there are any thumb rules for this, but it is normally a good idea to be a little conservative and keep 12 months expenses available to meet your company's needs. So, you know, once you get on to the revenue treadmill and every day you're going to be earning revenue and you're going to be spending money. And remember, it's very easy to spend money in a company. It's more difficult to earn it. But once you are earning and spending the money, then it becomes relatively easy to be able to manage cash flows. But the challenge is, do not reach a situation where you have run out of money completely. So if your business is still burning money and you have decided that 12 months is the amount of minimum buffer you need to keep, then by the time you get to the sixth month, and you still don't have a clear sight on when you'll start making money, that is the time for you to try and get more money into the business, either your own or from an external source.
We talked about unplanned expenses. Now, there are certain expenses that are really, really unplanned. For example, you might get a tax raid and you might not have accidentally paid taxes for a long time, and you might have to give that money back with interest. Or suddenly there is a situation in the market where you need to make some really, really expensive capital expenditure. Now, how do you tackle situations like that? And in this case, you can't really go to the market and ask for money, or you can't even increase your profitability because you need the money then and there. Correct. And it will completely put you in great losses.
Correct. So let me answer this question with the second part, rather than your first part, which is about the tax rate. Because if there is a tax rate, you have no choice. You have to pay. And if that results in closure of your business, the tax authorities will say, so be it. Because if you haven't paid, then there'll be penalties, etc. So look, I won't go down that path. But for any business, there will always be unplanned expenses. Always. The business has to have some resilience that you build in to be able to meet such unplanned expenses. And that is why I mentioned to you that it's a good idea to have 12 months expenses. So when I say 12 months expenses, I meant 12 months operating expenses. But if you suddenly have a significant amount of money that you've got, and let's not look at it as a negative. I mean, you know, you may suddenly have an opportunity to spend a significant amount of money to be able to acquire a new business, right? You may have an opportunity to acquire a great deal. You may get a great deal to acquire a brand new office, which means you move out of your rented office into your company-owned office. All these expenses will impact your cash flows. So it will result in tightness of cash flow. And very often, I have experienced this, that, you know, when we were growing Guardian at an absolutely incredible pace, building, you know, businesses that are working capital intensive rely a lot on supplier money. So if we were paying our suppliers in 30 days and we needed extra cash for opening 5-7 new stores, I would actually call all my suppliers, have a cup of tea with them and say, we are expanding. I'm going to delay payment to you from 30 days to 45 days. That 15 days extra cash flow will allow me to open my 7 new stores. And they would happily agree, because they knew that when those 7 stores came up, their business would increase again. But that was what was happening, because I was keeping them in confidence and telling them, this is what I'm going to do. But if I did not tell them, then I would have the pressure of expansion, and I would have the pressure of non-payment of existing dues. So it is always good to have a transparent mode of doing business. And if that is the kind of reputation you have been able to develop, then I don't think any supplier will not back you. And there will always be money available for your growth.
Okay. I have another question. Sometimes losses lead to cost cutting, and cost cutting results in lack of quality. Now, how do you handle that? Because at the end of the day, your quality is what you have. I mean, what you can control. Okay. How do you deal with that?
You need to start cutting costs when you find that you're not being able to get more revenues. And it has often been seen that the first axe always falls on marketing costs, right? So suddenly a business that is having some trouble will say, no more advertising, right? And the jury is always out on whether cutting down advertising will drop your revenues further, which means you'll go into a tailspin of lower revenues, cut more costs, lower revenues further, and then it becomes more and more difficult to come out of it. The other way to look at it, and I'll give you an interesting story of Jet Airways. I was flying Jet Airways 2-3 months ago before they went under. And in business class, they used to always give cashew nuts with your drink. So this time, suddenly I found a bowl of cashew nut lookalikes, which were makhanas. And I asked the air hostess, I said, what's happened to the cashew nuts? He says, no, sir, we've got cost cutting. So I said, if you had to cut costs, you could have done anything else, but why makhanas? So makhanas are probably the cheapest thing available. And I don't want to sound politically incorrect because I know makhanas is a big export of Bihar. But, sometimes airlines make these, or businesses make these silly mistakes of trying to cut costs in the wrong places. So if you have to cut costs in a planned manner. Always remembering that unless you are spending too much money in your business, a good entrepreneur normally has their eye on where the money is being spent. And then if you start to cut costs, you are probably going to start cutting off limbs of your organization, without which the organization may not be able to run as you expect it to run.
Thank you, sir. It has been really insightful, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.